I just feel it isn't theirs. There's no kings and no kingmakers in America. And so we're going to work this through together, us Pennsylvanians.
Well, Congressman, that is, and I am this is not false praise or lightly given. That is an answer that makes me feel a surge of pride, quite frankly, because it mirrors a lot of what I too have thought. May I also raise a couple of other issues that you didn't touch on within the calculus of whether or not you get into the race?
Sure, absolutely.
The first one.
I'll just have to wrap up maybe within the next five, if it's okay.
That's fine. That's fine. I just know that I know this was very important to Mark, and I don't know what happened to him, but it's.
We will make the time.
Yeah, we operate through the miracle of modern technology, and sometimes it bites us. Two issues. One of which, one of the issues that the Horn, the network that you're on right now, is the single most unwavering voice for working people broadcast-wise in the United States.
Yes.
Senator Spector came out and said that in no wise would he support the Employee Free Choice Act.
Right.
Can you address that topic?
Yes, the Employee Free Choice Act is one that I have co-sponsored. I actually voted for it in the last election, Congress, and it comes out of my committee. The issue is that the National Relations, NRLB, National Relations Labor Board, is broken. And there's not the proper enforcement of the right of workers to unionize. Now, people may agree or disagree on that, but the fact of the matter is they have the right to unionize by law. So what you find is that approximately 60% of those that want to have a secret ballot never get there because there is of groups that try to organize, because in 60% of the cases there are actual firings or pressure placed upon those who are trying to organize by employers. Second is what you have is that after they get to the right, after they've won a secret ballot, about 40% of those groups that have voted for union never get to a contract. And so this bill was supposed to make the field much more fair. And so that's the issue here, is that it's not really about labor. It's about working families. And the reason I'm concerned about working families is in my district and all of Pennsylvania, 50% of the families, working families, the medium level of the income of our state means that when you look at statistics, they are earning less today in real income than they did in 2001. That's not just today, 2009, after a recession of a year, 14 months. It was even 14 months ago before the recession began that they were earning less in real terms. Well, health premiums up 100% in that period of time. The cost of public university education up 60% during that time. And you sit back and say, well, wait a moment. The great American dream that the next generation will have the opportunity, not the requirement, but the promise, but the opportunity to do better than their father and mother hasn't been met. And we need to address this issue, and this is a piece of it. There's so much more to be done, from health care to educational opportunity, but this is a piece of the future.
Well, I believe a week and a half ago, I spoke with a wonderful radio host in your state, a gentleman by the name of Rick Smith, out of Harrisburg, and he was talking about the fact that organized labor would effectively have no voice if Arlen Specter were elected Senate. And we had an extended discussion about the fact that working people, working families, as you rightly describe them, very much need advocacy and representation within Pennsylvania's Senate delegation. And I'm again, proud to hear the way you discuss the issue. Finally, I would merely ask if, because I don't have the data in front of me, and I'll be very quick, Congressman. The head on, okay, Joe. The Head On Radio Network is headquartered in West Virginia. Where I am speaking to you from right now is literally 2 miles from the boundaries of a national park and 2 miles from a place where a coal company is currently blowing up a mountain to get at a 16-inch seam of coal. I wanted to inquire, because I don't have the data in front of me, are you signatory to the Clean Water Protection Act, H.R. 1310?
I will find out if I'm signatory to H.R. What was the number?
1310.
1310. Let me quickly see if I have. There's 5,000 bills, and I am co-sponsor of quite a few of them.
I can well imagine.
If I'm not, I probably should be, but I believe that I probably am. Look, what we need to do, and why I'm so glad about the economic stimulus bill and about what we're about to do in the president's budget, is that we need to put the research and development to make it an effective way to do sequestration if we are to use coal. And not only that, we cannot continue to devastate by how we do that. Hold on. I'm an original co-sponsor of the bill.
Wonderful. I wanted to check on that because
we have to take care of the land. Oh, look, and personally, I think this whole approach to energy and the environment is a win-win if done right for business and the environment. When I got endorsed by the Sierra Club in my first election, I asked, where they were standing on my right, I asked on my left if I could have a businessman, which they said certainly, because it was a businessman who was with the firm that had at the time in my district the largest portfolio in America for investment portfolio for clean energy. These are the kinds of jobs that President Obama bodes for the future. And, you know, it's going to take time, but we should not be having Iberdrola, which is a wonderful company, Spanish-owned, establishing headquarters here and building windmills that gives us jobs. Where is our own businessmen and women being given the proper tax incentives that shouldn't be given to the oil companies, that should be given to the clean energy types like we did in the economic stimulus bill, so that they invest in it, and soon America is establishing windmill factories over in China or other places? This can be good for our economy. It can be good for our education, as we have the artisans now switching over to the proper type of nanofabrication for the solar power panels of the future. And it's clean for our energy environment, which means it's good for our children's future. This is a major issue that we need to continue to work on. Is one of the issues why I want to hear where Arlen sits on all this.
And I very much do as well, Joe. And I tell you what, I know you are pressed for time. I would like at some point, if you don't mind, to have a longer, more extended conversation on these topics with you. It has been a real pleasure for me. I'm sorry that we lost Mark in the process, but I really appreciate the time and the energy you've brought to this conversation, and I thank you very, very kindly.
Glad to be aboard again in the future, and have a great evening.
You too, sir. You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now. That is Congressman Joe Sestak from Pennsylvania. I hope you like what you heard both in Mark's conversation and mine. I guess this is a program without an intro. Wait a minute. Let me fix that. Stand by just a second. The podcast is going to be all screwed up, I'm sure, but we'll make sure that it works. But here, let's do this.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Okay, so the intro this evening's a little bit awkward. It's 9 minutes past the hour, but that was a very important conversation, and I didn't want it to end just with silence. So I, with some sense of what Mark wanted to finish the conversation on, I took a moment to try to make that work, and I hope that it did. We do have some other technical issues going on right now. We just had one of those end-of-the-world thunderstorms blow through. The sun has come back out, but for a while it was coming in sheets, and I've got a power supply over here that is beeping and demanding attention. It may take the phones out. I may have to go dark for a few minutes, but I will be back. Knock on wood, he said, wrapping himself squarely on the top of the noggin. But if it takes us out, it takes us out. But I will be back, so my apologies in advance. Mark Levine is on the line with us just for a quick debrief. Go ahead and bring him on, Horn intern, junior grade Ferg.
Technical problems, but they're part of life.
I despise technical problems, and I despise things going beep in the background while I'm trying to do a daggum broadcast. But yeah,
yeah, we've got a member of Congress on the air. It's painful.
But you know what?
It's just me talking. I don't really care that much. But
he's
a
very genial man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Though he and I had a big fight last year. You may not even remember.
Now, I thought that was Bart Sestak.
Maybe it was. Maybe that's why I said Bart at one point. Oh, you know what? I may have confused the two. That may be the difference.
Are you smoking banana peels on air again,
well,
Mark Levine?
Why would there be two Sestaks in Congress here?
Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, Sestak's probably like Smith.
I didn't know that. You know what? I think it was Bart. Because at one point I started to say call him Bart, and I stopped myself. You know what? I bet that's the difference. Bart Sestak and I had the fight last year over whether or not to put Rove in jail.
Via inherent contempt, yes.
Right. But you know what? I just looked up Bart Sestak on Google, and that may not be him. I think it's the same guy. I don't think he remembered, and I wasn't going to bring it up because I wanted to be nice. And
well, I tell you, I gotta tell you, on just about everything he raised, and you raised, and I raised, he got all the answers right from this liberal's perspective. Now,
he's solidly pro-labor and pro-environmental issues, and he's the one, though, that it's, and I hope he answered this question while I was in technical hell. He's the one that I hope will challenge Arlen Specter.
Yes, he did. He is looking very seriously at that, and he did what a thoughtful politician would do. And I don't use politician like a dirty word in this sense.
He dodged the question.
No, he did not dodge the question.
No?
He said, I am going to see what Arlen does. I'm going
That's a good answer.
He said, I'm going to see if Arlen stands up for working people. I'm going to see if Arlen actually does what's needed to keep young Pennsylvanians in Pennsylvania. I'm going to see if Arlen does the right thing on health care.
Well, that actually makes sense, because that way when he announces that he's running, he can say Arlen didn't do the right thing. That's actually a very good move. It's a very good move on his part.
I'm very pleased with him. He is, in fact, an original co-sponsor of the Clean Water Protection Act, H.R. 1310, which would effectively end mountain removal, not just in West Virginia, but in all of Appalachia.
Good for him.
He is endorsed by the Sierra Club.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. It was Joe Sestak. I just did my research on my own website. This was the guy I disagreed with on that. But that's okay. Like I, you know, if I agree with every member of, there's no member of Congress I agree with all the time. I thought he was wrong on not pressing the contempt issue. But I've never doubted that he's an intelligent man, that he's a Democrat, that he's someone who I agree with most of the time. And one thing I did like is that he had a very clear understanding of Pakistan that I think, honestly, very few do have. And
you know what? No one is more vociferous, Mark, in wanting us the hell out of that region. Anybody who thinks that you can conquer or pacify Afghanistan, Pakistan, the tribal areas, has clearly never read a blessed word about Alexander the Great. Because we ain't got no Alexanders in the Pentagon. Not a one. Not even close, okay? We don't even have Alexander's horse, Bucephalus, Oxhead. We ain't got him. We can't do it. It can't be done. But the place can be, if we go about it the right way, and it's some of what I heard him talking about, it can be rendered harmless.
Which is all we want. Which it should be all we want. I mean, that's the only thing that we have a right to want.
Yeah, see, I don't want Afghanistan to be the 51st star in the flag.
No, I just want it not to harbor people that come to us with planes and
But as long out. But as long as we're zooming through the skies, putting hellfire missiles on top of wedding parties, you know, that's the thing I never understand about the right wing, Mark. They're all about, well, we got to protect the sanctity of marriage. Well, as long as it's not happening in Afghanistan where we're putting missiles on them, because they're hypocrites, the right wing. But
really?
Yeah.
You feel that way, Bob?
Yeah. Just in.
Because I've never heard you say that before. So okay, if you think so.
But anyway, there are ways to make Afghanistan and the tribal areas of Pakistan and Pakistan in general stable. But it generally does not happen well with the fumes of cordite wafting through the air.
Which is why I brought up two issues. One was developmental aid, education, and giving people a chance, an opportunity, jobs, the same kinds of opportunities. You know, as I talked about the fact that they're actually paid more to work for the Taliban than they are to work for the Pakistani police and army, and also that half the kids are getting educated. And the other thing is sensitivity to ethnic differences. Which he complimented me for raising the question because apparently no one asked him that question. But one of the things that we never seem to understand in Vietnam, for example, is it wasn't that the South Vietnamese and the North Vietnamese wanted to be communist. They didn't really care. They just wanted we, the imperialists, out of there. It was respecting their own local issues. I don't think that the people of Waziristan are really that into the Taliban or really that into Al-Qaeda or, frankly, even that into Sharia law and the mistreatment of women under it. What they want is their Pashtun. It's a different ethnic group from the Punjab. They want a little bit of autonomy. And I think that once we start recognizing people's rights to autonomy, you don't have to give them a separate state, but simply the right to teach their own language in their own schools and practice their own traditions. I said this about the Kurds of Iraq. I said it about really any minority, the Basques, let that minority teach their own religion and their own culture, and usually they won't be pushing for their own state. So I was glad that he saw the ethnic issue as well.
As am I. And for some reason, I have lost. Well, at some point,
you're
I am
beeping.
Gonna, yeah, I'm beeping. I'm going to have to do a reboot at some point.
All right, I'm going to hang up then. And glad you enjoyed the interview. I'm always glad when I get members of Congress on the air, particularly an intelligent one like him. And I suspect, if I had to bet, that our inspector will try to go a bit to the left. He won't succeed in going far enough, and this man may be the next senator from Pennsylvania.
Well, if our fellow horn host Rick Smith understands, and he's from Pennsylvania, so he should know that there is no way. I mean, unless Arlen Specter began behaving like that magic bullet that he invented. Arlen Specter can't get whatever half measure he does to try to engage in appeasement of the so-called left. It's going to be a half measure, and it is going to be insufficient. I'm guessing that if Congressman Sestak continues to speak the way he spoke today, that there is a strong likelihood organized labor would get behind him. I can't speak for labor, but...
No, I think they're already behind him. The question is what... by the way, it's Bart Stupak. That's why I was confused.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
Bart Stupak,
right.
Not a Bart Sestak. Sorry about that. But no, I think that at the end of the day, our inspector will try to do a face-saving move, much like the governor of New Hampshire did. And if it's a truly fig leaf, like I think the governor of New Hampshire, it's a complete fig leaf. It doesn't affect anything. It just delays everything. But it's going to happen in New Hampshire. I'm okay with it. If our inspector says, all right, we're going to have the Employee Free Choice Act, but we're going to call it the Employee Free Choice Law, and they can put the cards in, but they have to be signed by a notary, you know, something ridiculous like that. But if it does the intent of the bill, which is to allow the majority of people to unionize when they want to, Then you'll hear me talking good about our inspector. We'll see.
Well, but I'll tell you what. I mean, I know you're more of a gambling man than I am. I'll lay odds that that ain't going to happen.
I'm not going to bet you on that because I think you're right. It's not going to happen.
What would happen?
Is the opportunity to
as far as EFCA is concerned, Mark. What will happen is that Arlen might weasel a little bit to the center because ain't nothing about him middle of the road or moderate or liberal or any of that garbage that's been applied to him, that what he will do is I would predict that he'll say, you know, that lady from Arkansas, that Blanche Lincoln, the one that represents Walmart, I'm with her. Because what they've tried to do is put together this watered-down version of EFCA that takes the 50% card check requirement and runs it up to like 70%, something like that.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and they're calling it, well, you know, that's a moderate compromise.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No, that's a shiv through the ribs.
The other thing that Specter could do is he could say, and this would be fine with me, he could say, I'm going to vote against the Employee Free Choice Act, but I won't filibuster it. And you know what? If he does that, it'll pass, and I'm okay with that. If he's not part of the 60, so he allows it to get to the floor, and then the majority votes it without Blanche Lincoln and without Autumn Specter, that's a face-saving move.
That's the thing there. There ain't no 60, okay? Because Blanche Lincoln is a Democrat. David
right.
Pryor is a Democrat. Ben Nelson has already announced his opposition to it. Mary Landrieu can't be counted on.
You know what?
Yeah, and what we're talking about here is an overarching problem with no one so much as Harry Reid, Mark.
Oh, I can't blame Harry Reid for Mary Landrieu and
I can. He's the majority leader. You go to him and you say, you know that bridge you want built in your hometown? It ain't getting built. That's how hard, you know, you were praising LBJ yesterday. That's
right.
How he operated. He was,
that's
after
true.
All,
that
unless I am
LBJ
mistaken,
operated.
Was he not majority leader or majority whip in the Senate at one point?
Yes, but we haven't had a politician like LBJ since LBJ.
Well, guess what? Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Harry Reid is no LBJ. We could definitely agree.
Well, you know, the fact that, I mean, I was particularly dismayed, and I don't know if you saw this or not, Mark. You know, there's ongoing, you know, Jay Bibee, Office of Legal Counsel, right? The guy
former.
Who's...
Former.
Yeah, but the guy who's now a federal appeals court judge who sat around in his office... nibbling cheese doodles and writing about torturing human beings.
Right.
His appointment to the Office of Legal Counsel was approved on nothing more than a voice vote in 2001.
Right, and now they're trying to stop Don Johnson.
Don Johnson, Harry Reid said yesterday, is going to have 60 votes because the Republicans won't let him otherwise.
Do you know what? She'll have 60 votes. I mean, it's not the right thing for them to filibuster her, but she'll have 60 votes.
She won't have 60 votes. She ain't got Ben Nelson. That's the whole point here, Mark. Harry Reid does not have control of his own caucus.
That's true, but that's normal. I actually think she's going to get it because I think both of the senators from Maine will vote for her to absolutely. I don't see either Olympia Snowe or Susan Collins turning on Don Johnson. She's not at all a radical. She's a very well-respected legal scholar. I think it's going to happen. But let me just say this, because I know you have to reboot, and then I'm going to get out of here. I do think the only option on the Employee Free Choice Act that helps save face of Blanche Lincoln and Mary Landrieu and Ben Nelson and Autumn Specter is for them to vote for cloture, vote for it to be heard. After all, just vote for a vote.
All we
That's
want is a
64,
yeah,
and then all of them can vote against it, because you know what? We have 50 votes. We don't have 60, but we have 50.
That is true.
That is the only face-saving solution. And you know what? If Harry Reid does that, I'm okay with it.
And you know what? In the process, the best way to handle that is to just play videotape over and over and audio sound bites over and over of Bill the Cat Killer Frist repeating in that simpering accent of his on the floor of the United States Senate, "All we want is a up or down vote."
Exactly. Put in the reconciliation bill, then you get an up or down vote. There are other ways to skin this cat.
Indeed. Well, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you for finishing the interview. I'm sorry to hear about your sheets of rain, and I wish we had a way to prevent technical problems, but given that they happen...
Well, there is a way to prevent technical problems in large part. It's called money.
Well, go into your pitch then and get our listeners to help you out.
Indeed, I'm going to try. Mark, we'll talk to you later, brother.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye now. Mark Levine, host of the Inside Scoop, which I finished there. Sorry about that, Lottie. I know. I can't say Bill Frist around a cat without the cat going, "Hair!" You know, and hairball. With good reason. Let's see. Is somebody on this line? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert. Yeah, what's up, man?
Well, I just got to say real quick, I think it's time for Democrats to show some of the integrity that we kind of demand in our daily lives. And now that we know that Nancy Pelosi knew about all those little fun techniques, and now she's admitting that weapons of mass destruction were lied about and all this other beautiful stuff that we've had to endure for those 8 years of terror. I would like to see perhaps something along the lines of, maybe her stepping down voluntarily and going for a, some sort of hearings and investigations and maybe impeachment trials and this and that, just say, hey, I lied to you, and due to that, I made mistakes, and due to that, I'm stepping down, let somebody else kind of take over, maybe admit a little humility and, kind of do the right thing. And I think in a way, just because I'm real sick, I mean, I'm not a big fan of her or nothing, even though she's much better than some of the others. But at the same time, I would like to kind of see her step up, have a little integrity, do what needs to get done, and pay the bills that need to get paid. You knew about this. You knew about it. You knew about it. End of story. You knew about it. You're done.
And
sit down.
See, and that's because, now this is coming from the Bob Kincaid realist moment.
I know.
You come out and you do that Captain Renault scene from Casablanca where you say, I am shocked to find out that the intelligence community lied to me.
Sir, here are your
words. there's, Have you seen, have you seen Charlie Wilson's War?
Yes, sir.
You know the scene where the CIA guy, as played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, has brought Tom Hanks the bottle of good scotch, and he steps out of the room while the crisis is unfolding, and then he walks back in and says, don't forget to subpoena the limo driver. And he says, were you listening at the door? That's thick wood. How'd you? No, sir. We bugged your bottle of scotch. It's the freaking CIA. It's the intelligence community. The truth ain't in them by definition. We hire them to be untruthful, and then we stand there with our little arms akimbo and our mouths agape, and they lied to me. They did. They lied to the Congress. Oh, my God, they lied. They misled. See, because she doesn't even have the guts to say they lied. Did you hear the clip?
Which clip?
Of Nancy Pelosi with the news conference thing.
I read it. I didn't actually hear. I'm sure it's probably
the guy asking the question. She said, it is apparent to me that they misled the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You mean they lied?" I mean they misled the Congress.
How do you mislead?
Well, see, that's because she. There's this thing that happens to the English language when you cross the Potomac River where you can't use the words that fit no more. You can't say that there's a lying sack of then the truth ain't in them, and you can't say they misled. No, by God, Nancy, if what you're saying is the truth, if you're not, and here's that word again, lying to us, then they lied to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're misleading us with all deliberate speed, and
that's a good one.
Yeah, well, you fomented it in my mind. I mean, we sit there and look at just utter nonsense that, you can't sit there and, literally be a human being and know words and use them in a way that says the opposite of what you really mean. And, but at the same time, it sounds like they're trying to come down on the good side. The misled is what... How do you mislead? I mean, like, misled is something you almost equate it with.
No, damn it. Misdirection, Albert, is when you fake the off-tackle dive play and you pitch to the tailback going left. That's misleading.
Misleading me, I didn't know there was a surprise party. I didn't know you guys misled me on that one. But when you talk about, putting people under, a couple of gallons of water and beating the hell out of them and, then making up memos to go snip snip to their children in front of them and all the other horrible things that were coming out of these perverse minds, that's not mislead. I mean, the, you know, we're, come on now. I mean, are we adults here? I mean, you know, it's like mislead. And because of that, I think we need to continue with that. I think we called for a long time ago. We have to demand real change here. I mean, we can't continue this crap with these people that just will. They lied. You giving Joe Scarborough. Well, why do you got to give Joe Scarborough this? Path of least resistance to say. That old, the CIA and the FBI don't get along, kind of stuff. That's his big argument, they don't get along, so, obviously it's, obviously they don't get along, so obviously the FBI is just trying to make the CIA look bad. And it just, we're arguing about, brass tacks and Titanic here, and it's like, I don't know. Someone's got to save the integrity of, at least one political party in this country, if not two. The Republicans are gone, and, now we need to foment whatever opposition to the Democratic Party, because you can't let anybody be Mussolini. I don't care how much the train's going to, I don't care about soul pounds on my roof. We can't ever let anybody get that much power, ever. I don't care who it is. You can't let, if Jesus walked out of the clouds, we couldn't give him that much power. I think these things are important. When we hear Nancy Pelosi, Nancy, please step down. Let somebody else, Harry Reid, you knew too, step down. It's time. I mean, and they may think, and that's the other thing, they're taking credit for our anger or our outrage when in reality, not for nothing, during those 8 years or so, their flavor was in that, I won't say the word, but that shake, that milkshake, so to speak, that we were being waterboarded with constantly. That milkshake of fear, they were right there. They were right there on the tip of the palate. And, I still taste it. And, every time I see this, it comes.
Yeah, and it's got that sort of ferrous sting of the taste of blood, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's got that, yeah, no doubt. And there's a hint of sulfur in there, too. And, we really got to, heck, I want to see some Dennis Kucinich in charge of something. I want to see him in Speaker of the House or something like that. I want to see some people that, really kind of, that honestly have never abandoned us. And that have never, that don't sit there and that will call a liar, that will sit there and read off, 600 articles of impeachment, for 3 days with no break, maybe a pee break here and there. I want to see somebody that really is a leader. I mean, and these people aren't leaders. They're just deal makers, And they blame these, these entities that are there forever. It's like that guy I told you about, and I keep talking about him. He was the pet Republican for a while, and he just lost his mind and became real freakish and flew his freak flag. But, before that, he apparently joined the military just so Rush Limbaugh could, call him a hero and stuff and get him all excited. But, now he's abandoned it because they're going back to Iraq. So, he, like a coward, he runs off and, he thinks he escaped from it. But see, the thing about the military is it's not personal. And the thing about the FBI, like these things are, they might have their little grudges in the Marines or the Navy and the FBI versus CIA. But in reality, some people are lifers and they'll do 20 years, especially in the FBI when you're talking like that. But, you're talking about any of these other things, the military doesn't care. They're not going to come looking for you if you go if you desert or be in abandonment. As long as you don't go and kill anybody or steal anything, they're not going to come looking for you. If you just leave and you're AWOL, they'll just wait. Because where are you going to go? Eventually you'll turn up. And, when we're looking at a system that's so just, it just runs on its own. It's like slime mold, Eventually it's going to get you. We sit here and we talk about the FBI and we lay blame to these, to these amorphous just blobs of, alphabetical soup. And, we put the blame on them, but then there's really no accountability. You can't just blame one guy or two guys or three guys. This stuff is systemic. We got like, wilt rot and from root to tip. It's time to cut the tree down, and I know, but get some seed, get some nematodes and kill off some of the pathogens, and, let's start all over, and, that one of those, my mother brought me some National Geographic things, and then she was, you know, there, of course, it was, you know, the awesome power of nature destroying everything and blah, blah, blah. And they were showing these earthquake fault lines, and it was just amazing to me. And it just, you know, it just brings it all over again. And there's some things that, you know, we used to do back in the day correctly. When they used to build a building, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they used to build it correct. Because when you have an earthquake now of 7.2 magnitude for 45 seconds in Turkey, every new building is completely demolished into a pile of, you know, socks. And these mosques that were built, you know, so long ago, they're still standing
there.
Like,
yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, and you know, it just makes me, you know, it just makes me
look,
cringe.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's an even better example. That big pile of rocks on top of the Acropolis in Athens. That thing withstood the test of just about everything short of Christianity. and then it was still in pretty decent shape, until what was it? The 15th century, 14th century war between the unending war between it's just a manifestation of a further manifestation of the Iliad war between the Turks and the Greeks. They were using the Parthenon for an ammo dump.
Huh.
And it all went up.
Mm-hmm.
And even that didn't take it down. Okay? And now it looks, you know, it sort of ruined it for ruined some of the aesthetics of it, but it didn't take it down. And so, you know, there are building practices and there are building practices. Another earthquake prone region, the Valley of Mexico. You'll note that it's a little the worse for wear, but the Pyramid of the Sun has been standing for what, 2,000 years? Broad base, narrow at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Just works.
Yep.
Same, Copan, Palenque, Chichen Itza, they're all still standing. Now, the mud huts, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true. But, you know, I mean, and this goes right into what we're talking about when we talk about a washing machine that lasts 5 years. You know, I mean, like, man, I don't know about you, but it makes sense to build a building that's going to be around for 1,000 years, that's going to be able to withstand any kind of, you know, because you can't really predict an earthquake. It's just all of a sudden, bam, it's there. And, you know, but you can prepare for it. You know, so if we're prepared for the, I mean, and then that goes on to the whole everything. I mean, you know, it just goes into our entire mindset. It's like, you know, if we don't prepare for the events that can, you know, occur and do complete damage, if we don't occur to damage, you know, like, if we don't sit there and do Geneva Conventions, we would have been, you know, God knows when Reagan got his little way and everybody else like that, and they were, you know, they were doing their torture by proxy with the School of the Americas and all that other stuff. But, you know, I mean, God, it could have been much worse. We could be doing this stuff in every American city and, you know, in every precinct of every jail. And, you know, even though it doesn't work, you know, they could still, you know, but that's why I think, in a way, you know, humanity has our Hitlers and our Stalins and our George Bushes, because it shows us where not to go. Like, it shows us how not to do things. It's like, you know, we build a 10-story building out of particle board and, you know, tongue depressors, and we wonder why it collapses and we lose, you know, 2,000 people in a building. You know, I mean, we got to build these things correctly. We got to build these things to withstand the test of time and nature and everything else like that. And, you know, and I mean, being sustainable is the way to do it. I mean, I don't know if you call it. I put a documentary up on the forum, and it's called The Coconut Revolution or The Coconut Rebellion. It's about the people of, there's an island near Papua New Guinea, and it's called Bourgainesville. And they had, it had the South Pacific's version of mountaintop removal going on in their country, in their land. And these people lived off the land, and they sat there and looked at what was happening, and they removed a mountain, and it's now a big hole. They ruined the water and everything else like that, and they went ape excrement and started a war.
You can say bananas because it's the same thing. Yes.
Ape bananas. Eventually it is. You know, they went ape bananas and like literally fought their independence. And, you know, these people live up in the bush and they have, you know, hydropower, and, you know, yeah, they use the parts of all the mine, you know, and they have axles driving. I mean, it's amazing. You watch, check that out. It'll bring a smile to your face. These people sitting there saying, you know what, if we don't have our land, if we don't have these things, and yeah, there's a little religious, you know, overtones and stuff like that to it, but, you know, there's, you know, just like with anything, man, there's good parts of religion, and there's, you know, not so good parts of religion. And there's another documentary I was watching. It was at one of those Horizons on BBC, which is really excellent. Anybody, you guys see those online on YouTube or Google Video, it's a Horizon. Check it out, 45 minutes of time well spent, usually. And they were doing an expose on these mosques in England, and how they're getting all this, you know, really radical extremist Wahhabism to come in and, you know, sit there and talk, you know, talk basically Christian dominionist stuff. You know, and the amazing thing to me is like, you know, they show this to present an extreme face of Islam. But what makes me laugh is all I see is it just ties up the package of all the three into a tighter bun, you know, because we can find at any time, in 5 seconds in America, you can find anybody just as radical, if not more so, in a Christian faith or a Christian denomination or even a Jewish faith as you would find in any of these, you know, these people that talk, you know, infidels.
And yeah, primarily, and that's very true, Albert, especially in regard to the monotheist religions.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be more toxic inside the monotheistic religions than it is inside animistic religions, although that's not to say that, well, I mean, look at the civil unrest that happened in India at the time of its independence. Hindus killing Muslims, Muslims killing Hindus, Muslims saying they started it, Hindus saying they started it, kill. Even the Jainists have gotten into the act in the last year or so. You know, you know what Jain is, right?
The who?
The Jainist, J-A-I-N. This is one of the faiths. And, you know, these are people who won't, you know, if the mosquito lands and it's biting your arm, they won't slap the mosquito.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
And they've got dietary rules and they're very vegetarian. And then they've gotten into the act because they've decided that there were restaurants that were selling cooked meat too near to their temple, so they went and burned it down. You know, these are, you know, life reverers. You know, it was a restaurant. There were rats. There were bugs, okay? And you killed them. You burned it down. And you're a Jainist, and you won't swat a mosquito.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Extremist is extremist. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter where it is. And I think, yeah, as if humanity can do the big deal and stand up, maybe we can shake some of these pests off. Or at least, you know, regulate them to the dirt where they kind of need to be.
And yeah, that's why I see, you know, if I see some guy with a big long beard and talking about how, you know, he needs to whip his wife and stuff like that,
yeah,
I have to check first to see whether he's a Muslim, a Jew, or a Christian. Because there are sects of all of them that go, well, hell yeah, beat the woman. That's how, it's the only way you can keep them in control is give them a good whooping.
Yep, those are the same group of guys that want to, you know, stone the gay people, and, you know, they were...
Remember the little girl that got kidnapped in Utah?
Yep.
And had to walk around in a sheet for a year and was finally, like, you know, brought back to civilization, I forget how. Remember what those people looked like?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they were radical, crazy-ass Mormons. But to look at them, you couldn't tell them from a radical, crazy-ass Muslim or a radical, crazy-ass Jew.
Yep.
And it's not about Mormons, Muslims, Christians, or Jews. It's about the crazy-ass part.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't know. I mean, it's this totalitarianism, you know. And, you know, I mean, I'd like to think that in the realm of humanity, of life, that there is a place, and there probably is, there's a place for being totalitarian. And, you know, and I mean, you know, totalitarian when it comes to clean water, and it comes to, you know, like, I mean, there's...
Or maybe the word you're looking for is intolerant.
Exactly. All right, intolerant, or, you know...
I confess to being wholly intolerant of Don Blankenship.
Absolutely.
You know, I am entirely intolerant of the CEO of Peabody Energy. The beeping is getting worse and worse. I fear we're going to have to forestall this conversation, and I'm going to have to do that reboot, Albert.
Oh, well, sir, you got to get done when you got to get done, brother.
All right, we'll talk soon. Maybe holler back here in a few, okay?
All right. I'll let some others get the turns and stuff like
that. All right, later, brother.
All right, we got time. All right, brother.
Bye. You hear that? That's really annoying to try to do radio during. But I'm going to lose a power to something in a minute, so I got to stop and reboot this thing. Which probably means the phones will go down. And this is just intolerable. So, you know, bear with me for a minute or so. We'll go silent for a couple of minutes. Stand by, please. Sorry for the inconvenience.